Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome aboard, race fans. We're live here from the 36 Degrees North studio in downtown Tulsa, Oklahoma. Right here on the heart of the Brady Arts District in the 36 Degrees North building in the studios here at 36 Degrees North, where last Sunday night the Hampton Brothers produced one heck of an event down here. It was amazing. There were thousands and thousands of people down here. There was probably 20 to 30,000 people at one point in time. It was a free craft beer tasting. It's the Hop Jam. This was the third annual for 2016. All the vendors were up and down the streets. They had the streets chain link fenced off. But it was absolutely free to the public for the out there, you know, hope you get in there. Bobby, you on the line with us?
Hey, Bob, how are you?
I'm doing great. I hate to interrupt your night. I know you're super busy down there with sounds like you guys got more of the weather than we did here, and you're suffering a little bit of flooding damage. So we're not going to keep you very long. We just kind of wanted to touch base with you and tell the listeners what's going on down there at your park and what the plans are for the future and what special events you got coming up and how things are going.
Hey, thanks, Bob. Can you hear me okay? I'm hearing a pretty broken audio from my side.
I hear you fine. Am I
awesome.
Broken up?
Yeah, it's kind of distorted. But so thanks for asking me to join the show tonight. We've got a pretty full plate here from the modest 30-acre park a little over 5 years ago to 170 now, and with the success we've had of the youth motocross racing program on Friday night and the TT races on Fridays, looking forward to adding the big track, lighten it up here in the next few weeks, and running some Friday night races and Tuesday night practice. We're different than many tracks around in that we've got a clubhouse. We've got all kinds of venues from extreme youth, front track, as some of them call it. Actually, we call it the expert track. But if you see some of the youth on it, you'll wonder why we don't call it extreme. Old style track in the back, 40 acres of new trails coming. And we're going to become, as we feel, what's needed is a regional area for youth for training. Get those kids early on to learn some of the better skills and riding safer. So lots coming up in this year of 2016. I'm very excited to kind of be down here just south of Tulsa, putting it all together, Bob.
Well, Bob, I know that you're into rider development and you're into the youth organization as far as getting those kids started on the right track. Tell us a little bit about your kids' camp. I know you've got a couple of them or more on the schedule, and kind of fill
sure
us in on what the kids' camp is.
Youth camp's in its fifth year. Often it's when the kids are out of school, we've got a camp, whether it's summer, spring break, winter, Christmas break, and 10 to 15 kids, sometimes a little more than that. We gather up for the week. Parents drop them off during the day, and we spend time helping them learn how to ride within your means and how to improve their skills. They make lots of friends. They get some free ride time. It's been very successful, and they seem to get the urge to race because we practice on some of the race tracks. And a funny thing is that those kids have start here and move along and find the larger tracks around the Midwest. Program has just gone terrific, and we're really pleased with all the help and support we've gotten from K&N and Yamaha and others to make that kids program work. And on another front, talking about rider development, I saw a few fellas riding the other day. As often is the case, we all get that urge to be kids again in the 30s and 40s. And I pulled a few of them over and I said, okay, you've got me interested in how to offer those over the hill gang, pardon the pun, with some tips. Let's not call it an older crowd camp, but rider development. You want to get back into riding, and the fear is I'm going to fall and break my arm and I get shot by the wire if I lose my job. And I think there's a lot of guys who would like to ride a little safer and still have the fun, so we're going to work on that as well.
Sounds interesting. And, you know, that vintage thing is really big. There's a few of those groups, the ARMA group with AMA, that do kind of a national circuit and travel, and they've had, I don't know, in excess of 400 or 500 riders at those, and the vintage bikes are just unbelievable. I mean, why would it, they're restored to the point where they look showroom quality, and yet they're out there just banging bars.
True, Bob. I have a Bultaco. I have a Bultaco full time myself. I'm dying to get back together and put my leg over and ride. We'd love to get the vintage program going here, and that is one of the goals we've got, to reach out to those that have got those fun bikes from the days of yore, 60s, 70s, and even the 80s, I guess, might still be a vintage bike. But would love to do that and get some grandpas and others out here showing the kids what it was like when we used to race back in the good old days. It'd be a great time to have that. There's different venues that we're looking to promote here. I think many riders know of Mike Kidd and his success in racing, former national number one. He's got a great program. I think perhaps we might reach out to Michael and talk about the Scramble Cross program, old style motocross. The Hare Scrambles, we always think that's a great one to promote. And we'll be having a state series of one of those races coming up. So I'd like to think there's something going on almost every weekend down here at the park.
Well, it seems like there is every day other than you're closed on Tuesday. And you're open each and every day of the week. What other motorsports park that's, and you are exclusively motorcycles, two-wheel motorcycles, correct?
We are, but we're looking at the side-by-side with a program with Yamaha this fall to do a side-by-side area and promote that. We've actually got our order in for a Yamaha 1000, I think it's the YXR. Yeah, motorcycles is what we feel is the best fit for us. We tried the four-wheelers in previous years, and our insurance stepped up and said that risk is greater than they're willing to accept. So it is about motorcycles. And safety is something we're pretty crazy about, whether it's the young or the older riders. We're open year-round. And so that makes us different than many tracks. Others in the country, some in different places, do run a year-round program, and that allows people to stay in touch with us on activities that we have going on almost every week.
Now, you have camping there, RV areas, and they can stay more than one night. I think there was a gentleman from up north that was there for quite a few days. Tell us about that character. He was a pretty neat guy.
We do get some interesting folks that do visit. The Minnesota folks came down, about 25 of them during the February month. It's a frozen tundra there, and they enjoy coming here. But, yeah, it's our campground area is at no charge. We're working to put in a big development on the new West edition that will have cabins that will be available for weekends for riders here. And pretty much a year-round program that lets people bring the family out. We're also unique other than, I believe, other than Tornado Boot Camp down in Houston, one other in Florida that we rent. The Yamaha line to help people get started in the sport or dads to go ride with the kid. There's not much we don't do, Bob, when it's related to motorcycles.
That's great. And, you know, Yamaha has definitely stepped up with your program down there. And how many Yamaha motorcycles do you have for rent, and what sizes are they?
They give us two of each of the full line of the TTRs in the 50s, 110s, 125s, and the 230. They're available by the hour. The program's in its third year, and it's just been a tremendous success. And we're very grateful that Yamaha and those at K&N were supportive of seeing that as an opportunity to get more people back into this sport.
Now, you just recently hosted a Yamaha Demo Day. Tell us a little bit about that program and the success of that.
It was really fun. Jason Raines is a six-time national AMA hair scrambles champion. He's leading up that program. So they bring their entire offering of bikes to parks and tracks around the country. We were fortunate to have them a couple weeks ago. What a great guy. Big crowd of folks that came out to try out the 16 line, and real pleased to have them. We're already talking about having them back for next year.
Yeah, it looked like there was a lot of people interested in that, the youth race that occurred on the Friday before the Saturday and Sunday demo day. There was a line of people over there checking out all the new models of Yamaha that Jason Raine brought with him with that big Yamaha trailer. So that was a good showing. And, you know, hey, I would think that with all that you've done, you've been there now for 6 years. Is that correct?
Coming up on six in this fall.
Six in the fall. So,
yeah.
You know, you took your baby steps, you crawled before you walked, and now you're up to where you're upright. Sounds like with this opening of the big bike track, things are really going to get in a lot faster and more exciting mode there.
We certainly have, Bob. We've just recently bought the assets at Race Day Park down in Poto. Wonderful people there that had to close their track for economic reasons of their day job. And so the new 32-man starting gate's in. The bleachers are here. The lights, the bridges, the tunnels, and things for the track are going to make our front track truly a good one for the Midwest and maybe some regional or even national races here coming up. The expansion of the pit area. The roads through the park, we got our hands full, Bob, but it's exciting times to do something like this and be of this caliber for the whole Midwest.
Well, it sounds like you got inundated with a little weather yesterday and early this morning and recuperated from that. And the work never ends, it seems like, on the motocross track if you want one groomed and in the right condition. So you've got Labor Day weekend coming up. Now, how can the riders that want to come out there and ride or participate in your events, how do they find out information on the fly so they'll know what's going on without having to bother you on the phone?
Thanks, Bob. Instagram, J-Team Racing, and Jandibers on Facebook is where we keep in touch. We post almost daily and to let people know track conditions and what events are going on. We'll be grooming the track starting in the morning on both the dozer and the tractors so we can try to have some track time available late tomorrow afternoon. Certainly for the Memorial Day weekend, we should have good crowds and a lot of fun doing little cookouts. And I think on Monday, Memorial Day, there'll be a $10 ride day for those veterans and those that have served our country in honor of them.
Oh, yeah. Memorial Day is Monday. We always kind of think Memorial Day is on the weekend for some reason. It's, you know, Saturday.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of people kind of focus on that, but it actually is celebrated on Monday. And there's a lot of people that don't have to go to their JOB on Monday, so they go do their fun on Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So, camp out,
come check us. Yep, they can come check us out, Bob. There is no gate admission. It's $20 a day to ride at the park on all the facility. And I'd love to have people out or give us a call and talk motorcycles.
Great, great. Well, now to get to your place from I-40, if they come from I-40, a lot of people come in that way. How do they go? What do they do to get to where you are from I-40?
We're 15 to 20 minutes north of 40 since the construction's going on, probably 20 minutes. So right through Henrietta and right up. We're north of Okmulgee, just right at 5 miles. And we can see U.S. Highway 75 from the clubhouse. So we're easy to get to. And we're behind that big Kubota dealer, Stuart Martin, on the west side of the road. That puts us 30 minutes south of Tulsa, you know, just a straight shot down, real easy access.
So it sounds like they got two accesses, either if they're in northern Oklahoma City or southern Oklahoma City, they could do I-44 coming in from northern Oklahoma City, or they could do the turnpike, and or they could go down to 40 if they're down in Norman area and that area of the state. In Kansas,
yeah,
they just come down Highway 75. That's pretty easy.
Yes, sir.
Well, great, Bob. I know you're busy. I'm going to let you get back to taking care of whatever you can salvage there from the water. I don't envy you today at all.
Thanks, Bob, for the invite. We look forward to seeing you all. Take care.
All righty. Thanks for coming on.
Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Bob Jandaber, the fearless leader of Jandaber's Motorsports Park in Okmulgee, Oklahoma. And when we say Motorsports Park, it's not just a racetrack, as Bob pointed out. It is a full-service facility. And not only in the clubhouse do they have the concession stand, they also have a lounge area. And in the back is Donnie Metter with Kinetic Playground. And Kinetic Playground was on Brookside in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He relocated down to Jandaber's Motorsports Park, and he is an on-site full-service repair for motorcycles right there in the clubhouse. So if you're looking for repair for your street bike, your scooter, your road bike, I've seen a little bit of everything in there that Donnie Metter has been working on. And a lot of people that follow racing might know his son, Dustin Metter, who's out on the National Road Race Circuit, or his other son, that does Brady Metter, that does a whole lot of work in cross country, this, that, and the other. So Donnie Metter, Kinetic Playground, Jandaber's Motorsports Park on Highway 75. You can find them on Facebook, Jandaber's Motorsports Park. Just go into Facebook and search at the top. You'll find them right there. Or you can Google search and just pull up the address, and typically it'll show you where it is. If you do a Stuart Martin Kubota tractor, it's just directly behind it. It uses the same road. So if you're trying to get to the track, that's another trick and an easy way to find it. It's across from the airport on Highway 75. Lots of motorcycle riding. There are races, a couple of months, but the majority of it is just pleasure and kind of like going to the lake with your own boat and your own skis. I mean, people go out there with their motorcycles and do their own thing. It's coordinated. Each track is counterclockwise in direction, and there are a few rules that you got to follow, as you know, as far as safety equipment, and you get checked out. If you have never ridden a motorcycle before or been out there, they typically take you through a short training course. If you've never ridden a motorcycle before, they will train you how to ride one, and you can rent one of those Yamahas from the 50cc up to the 230cc and every size in between in the TTR lineup, as Bob pointed out. So, you know, hey, it's a one key deal. It's just a turnkey deal. You just drive your car out there and get on a motorcycle and have a good time. Or bring your own, or bring a buddy. Tell a friend, come on out to Jandaber's Motorsports Park. Every day but Tuesday they're open. And they usually open at 9 in the morning, and they usually close around dusk. It'll stay open a little bit later. There's a lot of riders out there, and probably going to be that way this Memorial Day weekend. So if you're looking for something to do, some trails to experience, and some tracks to experience, point your hauler or your pickup truck or whatever you have to Jandaber's Motorsports Park. Well, we're going to listen to a little bit of Jack Rhodes calling some races down in Purcell, Oklahoma, a little flat track action. And we'll be back with some callers. Hopefully Gary Baylor is going to be calling in here. I told him to call in about 20 minutes after 7. So we'll just listen to a little bit of Dr. Jack Rhodes from Purcell, Oklahoma. This is about 10, 15 years ago. Might recognize some of the names.
And here comes a class that so many of you came to see. off on Pro Singles. Red Souders out of Bethany, Oklahoma, sponsored by Adams Racing, Hole Machine, and Hot Plates, along with Scotty Adams, is in the lineup in the pole position, number 63, alongside Jeff Bostic out of Claremore, Oklahoma, number 12, Chance Osborne from Chandler, Oklahoma, and number 88 on the outside, and they're in the first turn. A tight 1, 2, and 3, and anybody could win this one. Away they go. Green flag at the end of the first lap. Ken Briggs out of Manhattan, Kansas, had the lead, lost it to number 63G. Jeff Bostic now out front. Jeff Bostic now the leader as they come on the front side at the halfway point. Bostic being challenged hard once again by Ken Biggs. And in third place, number 12, Chance Osborne from Chandler, Oklahoma. Osborne running a strong third. In fact, now he slipped off the racetrack and he goes back to fourth place. Souders comes up and takes over the number 3 position. Osborne back in fourth. And we have two big races on the track right now. A battle up front and a battle for third. White flag for number 63. That's Jeff Bostic. Sponsored by JRT Racing in Claremore. Custom Cycles. Duval Electric and Greg Davis, checkered flag. And number 63, Jeff Bostic wins it. Number 88, G, in the number 2 position, Kenny Bay, Kenny Riggs it is, out of Manhattan, Kansas. That machine is prepared for racing by none other than Terry Poovey. And now we go to heat race number 2 in the Open Pro Singles. Heat race number 2 in Open Pro Singles. And this will be the final heat race in our qualification program. Final heat race in the qualification program. Lining up, number 13, Jared Enright from UConn. Pole position, front row. Ooh, right alongside. Look out. There is Clayton Hull, who won back on December the 17th in Hera. Also in this one, number 91, Joe Duval from Chelsea, Oklahoma. Number 55 in the lineup, Logan Sherb of the Sherbet. And Sherb is down. Sherb slips down at the back of the pack. And it's Clayton Hull out in front. No surprise there.
Well, it looks like we've got a caller on the line. Caller, who is this?
Two riders down so far in this one.
Probably just listening in. Let's try this one here. Caller, who are you there?
Hello?
This is Gary Baylor, Bob.
Hey, Gary Baylor. Now, who's the other caller?
Hey, this is Chad Brock.
Hey, Chad. Okay, we got Chad Brock. We got Gary Baylor. We got Dr. Jack Rhodes calling some races from Purcell, Oklahoma. Kind of in the background there.
You got to love that.
He's out in front and sailing. Away, white flag, one lap to go. Second place, field number 91, Joe Duval.
Joey Duval out on the front. Number 91.
Yeah, here's a sound back there.
Hall wins it. Clayton Hall takes the win. Second place, number 91, Joe Duval. And finishing third. Well, third place just now coming around. Looks like number 39. That'd be Aaron
39.
Linford.
Well, Aaron Linford's from Kansas. Finished in third place with that far back. I'll tell you, there was some competition that night. You don't see Aaron Linford that far back anymore.
Oh, really?
All right, guys. Let's talk. Let's talk a little bit about Mad Dogs. We've been talking Mad Dog setup, Mad Dog control, Mad Dog tires, Mad Dog engine size, all sorts of stuff going on. And I think they were looking at some rules from, what's that guy's name down there? The MotoGP ex-champion down at the Texas
Colin
Tornado
Edwards.
Boot Camp.
Yeah,
Colin
the
Edwards,
Texas Tornado. Edwards.
The Texas Tornado, yeah. Not not Jason Tyre. He was also called the Tornado, but I don't think he was the original. I think Colin Edwards was the original. And, you know, hey, Baylor, tell us what you think.
About the rules?
Well, yeah. Sure. Should they? Okay, for question number one, should they have a side stand?
No side stands. Dangerous in dirt track racing, unless they're on the right side. And then they'd probably still be dangerous if you fell on one. It might poke a hole in you.
Or somebody else falls on you. That's the thing I worry about, that sword coming after you.
Yeah. Well, you want to have a mini bike that's – the rules need to be pretty simple. Use the KISS theory. Just keep it simple. The original Mad Dog rules were pretty simple, but things had moved on since those days. But I believe a mini bike needs to have more power than it has better handling, and I think they handle too good nowadays. I think they need to not handle so good and have more power, so you got to ride them harder, manhandle them. But what are these new rules you've got, Bob? I hear you got some new rules coming up, trying to get something going at your new track out there.
Well, at Janitor's, we tried to make it pretty simple. We just made it four-cylinder, vertical, cylinder head, two-valve, air-cooled, and a limit of 150cc because we figured, you know, with the original 80s and 100s, most people wouldn't go over 150cc. But I'm informed now with the bigger motors that they can go a little bit bigger than that. Colin Edwards has set his at 155cc. And, you know, we've got that rear tire. Can't be a knobby. Can't be more than a half-inch difference between the lugs, the spacing. And we're kind of open on the rear tire, trials tire, dirt track
style.
You're going
to have to have a jig for that?
And tape measure.
Yeah.
Just lay it out there.
Sounded kind of technical there, but I guess you got to do something, huh?
Well, I mean, that was AMA's original rule was the half inch, no more than a half inch between the lugs, which that made sense. Most of them are 3/8. You know,
it's too bad that Bill Heller's not here to help us on these rules. He was the original mini bike guy.
Bill
Heller, Bill,
you know,
don't you? Yep.
Where was he?
He was from Edison High School. He worked at Smokey's days early, taught him lunch stuff. Bill Hellcat Heller. Oh, yeah, he used to have a Z50 that he put a SL90 motor, board and strokes, about a 120 in it, lengthened the frame on that Z50. And that's what I say. Mini bike needs to be powerful. It can keep it powerful and lack of handling. But, yeah, Bill had all his wild mini bikes and stuff. He loved mini bikes. He used to work on them in his bedroom. Robert knows him real well. He used to hang out with Robert a bunch.
Now, for the listeners that are listening to this that are more motocross acclimated or road racer car or whatever, because we kind of reach everybody, a mini bike is not a rope start mini bike like a lot of people think about when they were, if they're older, when they were a child, a mini bike was the rope start mini bike. We're talking the Honda, what do they call them, XR80, XR100. They started out
well,
as 80.
His is a Z50, you know. His is a Z50 originally.
Yeah, that's
1970
the hot
model. The original four-stroke mini from Japan's actually kind of got it going in the mini bike going pretty cool deal going because they handled good. They didn't handle too good, but they had good engines, better than the rope pulls we had. Yeah, those '80s. That's when they really became good. As a matter of fact, Jimmy Jammer and I, we had millions of laps over. There was a park at 11th and Memorial, used to be for mini bikes only. We used to ride over there every day on our lunch hour on our 1977 XR80s.
Oh,
it was
dirt
track
was
ever.
It was dirt.
It was a park. It was McClure Park, but it was for motorcycles. Not many people knew about it, but it was the best place in Tulsa.
That.
And Jimmy and I, I can't remember if Jimmy Long ever rode over there or not, but I know Jimmy and I rode over there hundreds of millions of laps. It was perfect for mini bikes. It was down in the wooded area. It was a gas. Next time, you have to ask Robert, ask Jimmy about that. This is back in 76, I think, or something like that, 77.
Yeah, it was Action Cycles days because that was in the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
Action Cycles.
Yeah.
I remember people went over and rode there, and it was down by the creek. It was kind of on the east side of the park, it seems like, towards Memorial more than towards the inside neighborhood street.
Yeah, it was more south and south of the swimming pool. It was really right off of, you could see it off of 11th Street there behind the U-Haul. Now it used to be Leroy Backtell's Conoco gas station and restaurant there at that original corner back from the original stock car days in Tulsa Speedway.
Gary Baylor, how did you get into racing when you were younger?
Well, my mom took me to Tulsa Speedway about 1962 or 63 to the races. And then my dad was, and right after that, my dad ran to Bill Phelps and started working on Bill Phelps' race car and was started going. Been going it every year since then. But that's how I got started, Tulsa Speedway.
And then you raced motocross, go-karts. Which was first for you?
We used to race foot races and bicycle races. We had our own scoring system, points races and stuff on bicycles, then mini bikes, and then motocross.
Now you were sharing with me a story about Tulsa Speedway, and you had a series and points. And the kids were on foot. This was foot races, correct?
Correct. It was foot races on the original Tulsa Speedway, not the big donut, but the original 3/8 mile one there. Down on the south end of where you used to go into the pits to come into the grandstands. We had some foot track around there, raced around there on the very end of that thing. We had full heat races and everything. Aaron, Al Lemons, and Pete York's kids, and I don't know, I can't hardly think of them all now, but there's a bunch of us. We used to race around there, had our own uniforms and stuff, little kid uniforms, and we had our point standings, and we'd race, and then we'd race after the races to see who got the A features, pit pass off his belt loop. And that was the guy that won that part of the race. But yeah, those pit passes were valuable for the guy that won the A feature. And we all tried to get it. But,
had a little string held it up. Yeah.
Yeah, or something.
Cardboard.
Yeah, right. Yeah, cardboard and a staple there or something too at the end there. But yeah, something. But yeah, it was just cardboard folded over, which each they used the honor system back then. They just went by, it started off with one and went up to every how many races they had. Yeah, that's how you could tell what week it was.
Yeah,
we had our own racing deal there, and then we raced bicycles too. All of us would get together. Alan Lemon's dad had that Vickers station out at 32nd Garnett, is right behind the park. And that was one place you used to race our bicycles and mini bikes. Had a big track out there. We used to race Saturday afternoon. Our moms would all haul us out there. And that's where Aaron and Alan lived, was back in that place there. We had some mini bike races. But, yeah, we had a lot of fun at old regional Tulsa Speedway. We were kids. Used to build model cars and we all get to go out on the front straightaway and get our trophies and stuff. That's when they had that little hexagon building or something down there right when he came in the entrance where he went in the pits. We used to keep all our model cars down there in that place, but they sold tickets and pit passes. Remember that building, Bob?
Oh it's during the shootout, the Chili Bowl. It's now all the equipment and the TV network people are down there, and Schwope's big barbecue place to feed all the staff of them. Well, the building isn't, but that's what they use that lot for.
Oh.
On that end of the building.
Yeah.
It was on the
building.
It was out east of the IPE building.
It was an art deco building. They should have saved it.
Yeah, yeah, that and the KELI satellite building. I always liked that one.
Yeah, I definitely should have saved that thing, for sure. But, yeah, the old Tulsa Speedway, that was a lot of fun. I even had a motocross track out there a couple times, I think, didn't they? In the infield there, I think. They tried it, I think. But,
I don't – you might be right. I think I remember that. Somebody could have been
– it was short-lived if they did.
Yeah, it was kind of a one-off event. And somebody was telling me that somebody has approached the fair board in regards to a supermoto race at the fairgrounds at the big grandstand out there where the sand track is.
Oh yeah, that would work.
And well, using the asphalt and the sand track, I think you probably have to bring some clay in, some Emmett's clay or the bicycle.
Well, that's
BMX
probably work
dirt.
For bikes, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they don't have a real high. They have a high speed, but then they also have slow speed, and they have big jumps, kind of like arena cross or supercross. So they've got some jumps. I watched them on a NASCAR track where they used the banked oval and then came back down in the infield and hit a jump that looked like it was about 85 feet from the takeoff to the landing. I mean, it was pretty heavy. I liked it.
Sounds like it,
yeah.
That supermoto is pretty cool.
Yeah, they hit some high speed.
Do they race them around here at Hallett or anywhere?
Well, the Gold Rush has one, but it doesn't really have a true supermoto track. It has a track that is asphalt and dirt, but it's not just primarily set for supermoto because they have to accommodate so many other classes and so much other events there. It's they're allotted X number of time for each one of those to get everything through there. That's how they get those $1,200, $1,500 or 1,500 entries, you know, into that place. You can't cater to one more than the other. However, the motocross track, it's pretty wicked. I think they could go over there a little bit. The way they've got it set up is their way. So that's how they do it. And, you know, that's what it is.
That's fine. Yeah, it works. It works. They're the one doing it. Kind of like you, Bob. You're the guy doing the show. Guys got to love it. At least you're trying to keep stuff going in Oklahoma.
That thing, the Gold Rush is kind of like the Chili Bowl. It's a happening. It's not just a race, and it's not just a single race. It's a whole weekend of activity, and most people come because they like to have the race family around them. Everybody knows each other, love them, hate them, whatever. And most people would, you know, give their right arm for somebody if it came down to it. You know, it's the race family. The motorsports family.
Oh, yeah.
We're all together. We're all one big happy family. Or dysfunctional. Well, tell us about your go-kart racing era when you went down to Oak Hill and you were in high school.
Yeah.
And you had to get back on Monday for class. I remember you telling me that. So how long did the go-kart portion of your race career last?
Probably about six or so years. Throw for Jim Stroud, MISI. Oak Hill. We used to have a lot of fun at Oak Hill because it was a fun track for starters. But it was in Texas, and always a bunch of racers down there, competitive type deal. And but it was really a fun track. That's where I actually first started racing. I think go karts one of my first races in a go kart. But go-kart, it's a extreme amount of fun. Those enduro karts are that they run on the road courses. They reach really, really good speeds, and they're pretty easy to maintain, and they're fun to drive. Because there's a lot of them normally, and you can be competitive and just go pretty fast, faster than what a person thinks they are. But I highly recommend somebody checking into it if they're wanting to do a good family deal, because it is a family weekend type deal. Your wife can drive, a girlfriend or son, you can use the same car because they have different classes. It's a pretty good sport to be involved in, really, and it's fairly inexpensive.
So racer development.
These days.
Yeah. Racer development era of most people's lives. And it teaches everybody the rule. Yeah. Good thing. It's a good thing. Mm. I remember, Oak Hill was my favorite track to work because I could see the whole track other than that turn that's down over on the southeast side of it. I couldn't see that area of the racetrack, but all the rest of it I could see at a glance, pretty much. And a lot of the other tracks
were good benefit.
Yeah, we can't see half of them. You know, they're out of sight. We want television cameras.
I was working for Kenny Tolbert and Chris Carr when he was road racing those Harleys. Tolbert and I were standing on the pit wall waiting. We were at Phoenix, and I couldn't remember how long it takes to get around there. You couldn't see anything except to come down the front straightaway, and then he'd be gone, and then you'd just sit there and wait for about 2 minutes or something, and he'd come back by around. Some of those tracks, it's hard to see, but that is what made Oak Hill good, because it was a lot of elevation changes, and the spectators or anybody could see it, like I said, except for that one part down there.
And people that follow go-kart racing. Go ahead.
Well, no, I just started to say that was just a fun track. It's kind of like a motocross track on a road course. The elevation changes of what I remember motocross tracks should be like.
Yeah, it looks like a motocross track now, unfortunately, because they've taken all the asphalt off of it. And the mine company came through, and now it doesn't look anything like it did. You know, it's a real tragedy to lose that, because that was a historic place. Hartman's name was always up there on that wall of fame with the lap records and all that cool stuff. His sign was up there for years above the registration window, and registration was misspelled, so it fit the location.
He gave him a lot of money. He tried to keep that thing going. John and Kathy, they did a lot for go-karting. They supported it all over the country, and they definitely supported that place. They liked. I think the guy's name was Jack Reed that would promote him, I think was his name. Super nice guy. Do anything for you. And they always tried to help him out, and they'd come down to those races, which is a pretty good drive from California just to come to a go-kart race. But pays a trophy.
Yeah, so you moved to – I think Hallett still hosts – I think Scott and Connie Stevens still host a couple or three of the go-kart sanctions over there at Hallett. So if anybody's looking for that kind of racing here in the Mid-South area – other than Texas, if you're in Oklahoma, Hallett Motor Racing Circuit off about 40 miles to the west of Tulsa, Oklahoma, on the way to Stillwater. So you can just drive over there and check it out. You can find them online at HallettMotorRacingCircuit.net. They're not a .com. They're Hallett Motor Racing Circuit, C-I-R-C-U-I-T, for the same person that misspelled registration. It'll help you out a little bit. But you probably just ask your phone, and your phone's going to find it for you. It's smarter than all of us. Maybe not. Who knows? So from go-karts, then you went into tuning for the motorcycle, for the flat track? Is that, or you did motocross, and then you became the tuner out on the circuit. Is that right?
Well, I did motocross, and I did some ISDE stuff and some duros. National Hare and Hounds, that kind of stuff. And then raced a couple of years at Tulsa Speedway out there in a stock car, race car, super modified, I guess what they call them.
And then I remember that. That was Jameel's car, wasn't it?
Best sponsor in the world, Steakhouse. No doubt about it. It was good. The food was good. And then I got into the Mad Dog stuff. That's kind of when we started. Chuck Butler, I started the Mad Dogs around here, the Mad Dog Minis, and had Charlie Smith and Jimmy Long and Jeff Nyman, Jeff Hammer. I can't remember who all wrote them. Bart Winters was a big part of it too. But back when we first got started, he supported it big time. We'd stay at his house, and he'd get us engines and bikes and stuff. Love Bart. But, So then I got into the Grand National bike racing stuff with Poovy. But yeah, the mini bike, that was a fun time there. We had a lot of fun when we first started that thing. Well, I remember we raced, what was it, four tracks in three days, I think, something like that, Memorial Day weekend. We raced 2 days on Sunday, raced at Hallett. Norm let us come up there, and we had a mini bike race, expedition race up there. Speaking of Norm, he's always been a big supporter of Mad Dog Minis. He's always loved that class. Phil used to like it. As a matter of fact, Phil was one of the original riders when we first started around here. He was one of the original riders when Ed Beckley had the indoor truck pull thing or monster truck thing out at the pavilion. And we had the mini bike race there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's about a 50 lap feature, but on
concrete with dirt and water and mud, and it was kind of like, you know, hazard. I think that's the same year that Charlie Orr jumped over the helicopter.
Yeah.
Well, they had the mud bog pit in the middle. You guys raced around the outside up against the wall. It was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Ed was always good to us, too.
Oh, yeah. Super guy. Yeah, there's, you know, hey, what can you say? I mean, it is what it is. Hey, Chad, you got anything to add here real quick?
Not really.
You're just taking everything in, right?
Chad, I didn't mean to just listen in, Chad.
What's that?
I didn't mean to butt in on you there a while ago, maybe when you started to talk to you. I can't remember.
It was your floor. It was your floor, Gary. And I just wanted to know if Chad had any input and the history of what was going on here as far as what they're they've got a lot of those Mad Dogs that are a group that rides out at Charlie Smith. Speaking of Charlie Smith, the legend Charlie Smith. Out in West Tulsa,
mm-hmm.
at his track out there, and they call it Cycle Smith. Is that right, Chad?
Yeah, we're the Cycle Smith Riders Association is what we call it. It's just people that get together, like-minded folks, and go over there and ride mini bikes and have fun. Learn what you can from Charlie, if you can keep him in sight.
That's hard to do.
<It's hard. laughs> I asked John Pickle about motorcycle racing at Port City one time, and John looked at me and he says, "Charlie Smith will win." That's all he said.
Sounds like Pickle.
I liked it. He said, "If you watch a motorcycle race here, Charlie Smith's going to be in the lead." He said, "We tried one night, we put Charlie Smith on the back straightaway and all the other riders on the starting line, and Charlie passed him. I think it was in three laps into the race." Pickle said, "No matter where you start that guy, he's going to win." Pretty fun.
Well, now, he's smooth. He's Mr. Smooth.
Yeah, Pickle used to call it the Australian Pursuit. They'd put the fastest qualifier in turn two and the slowest qualifier in turn one, and everybody else matched out around the track, and then throw the green flag. True inversion, single file.
Yeah.
Get it on. As Danny Presnall, the late Danny Presnall, painter of helmets, owner of PhD Helmet Designs, Danny always said it stood for piled higher and deeper, told me, he said, he said people go to racing for two reasons, the passing and the crashing, and not necessarily in that order. I think you're right.
I love him. I love him and I miss him for sure.
A lot of people miss Danny Presnell, our good friend here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that you could always stop in and see something being designed, painted, taped, sanded, looked at, thought about, or conceived.
No question
just talk,
about
just
that.
Talk in to, stop in to listen to Danny talk.
In the meantime, you did get a little bit of philosophy from Danny Presnell. But he knew everybody, and if you needed to know anything about motorsports in the region, Danny knew all about it. I mean, the guy was like just a library of information. Really sad to lose
him.
Yes,
he was. Yeah. No doubt about it. Yeah. Yeah.
One of a kind gentleman. Well, we got about 10 minutes left in the show, and it seems like it's time for just kind of a free-for-all, just everybody kind of, let's talk about what are you doing now, Gary Baylor, since you retired from the flat-track motorcycle circuit, got settled a little bit more in Oklahoma. I think you went out and did something with NASCAR for a little while, came back here, and now what is your what do you do now?
Well, I work for a guy that owns Henrietta Ford in Henrietta, Oklahoma. He has a super late model, dirt late model. And I build it and take care of it. And we go to the races in that thing. And not in that thing, but with it. And we race that car. It's a rocket chassis, 850 horsepower, late model. And they usually run 40 lap to 100 lap races. And I've been working for Shannon for 6 years. I don't know, years go by quick, kind of like days anymore, or weeks. It's been a pretty good relationship for him. We won a couple championships and Rookie of the Year and a Comp Cam Lucas Dirt Late Model Series a couple of years ago. We're trying to climb the ladder on that deal to get up to win a big race, hopefully, in the next couple of years. There's a lot of adjustment on those cars, but I still think dirt motorcycles, dirt track, or even motocross, they're still, you only got two wheels on the ground. We got four on these cars, and it's hard, but it's sometimes even harder to get a race bike working good. But it's pretty fun. It's a lot of work. You got to have more people to work on it. Of course, a lot more money to keep it all going, but it's a lot of fun. Keeps the drivers are safer a little bit than motorcycles. It's only motorcycles that might be a little dangerous, but they sure are a lot funner than anything else in the world, for sure. That's kind of what I'm doing now. Just working on that thing, taking care of that, and trying to win races. Still trying to win a race. You're only as good as your last race, so you always got to keep trying to win more. So that's what I'm doing now, Bob.
Yeah, that's true. You can't rest on your laurels when it comes to motorsports competition. I'm looking at Super Late Model on Google, and I'm seeing all sorts of sanctions for it. So that must be a really big deal, because they've got one out of Georgia that's called Ultimate Super Late Model. Then they got the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series. They've got the Pro All-Star Series. They've got the Ultimate Super Late Model Series. The Dirt on Dirt Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series, World of Outlaws, Craftsman Late Models, Unsanctioned Special Events, all that stuff going on. And it looks like, just pick and choose wherever you want to go with one of those. Do they run those at Caney, Kansas?
Pretty much.
Still?
Yeah, we've been to Caney. They still run up there once or twice a year.
I think that was about the wildest thing I've ever seen on a short track like Caney, Kansas, was those late model cars, because at that point there was no wall on the back straightaway or in the corners, and they just put the right rear wheel on just on the edge of that thing or off the outside of it. I don't know how they held on to it, but it was like some really skilled drivers. It was really fun to watch it. They just had a huge amount of horsepower, way more than that track could ever handle. It was a lot of throttle finesse.
Yeah, track is a little tight. That front straightaway, it gets up. It's the only thing that's got a wall on it. It seems to be it tightens up real tight coming off of four. They are powerful machines for sure. But they are kind of behind on technology. We're just now getting into the dual rate springs, which is what we had on motorcycles back in the
70s when they first started moving the suspension up. Had to run dual springs so you could keep your wheel from busting out, and mainly so you could have a soft spring to turn and a hard and a heavier spring to control your landing. And now they just now they figured that out on these late models. We got this machine that lets you set your springs and all this crazy stuff. It's pretty complicated, but it's still just a dual spring. I tell everybody, well, hell, I had these back in the 70s. They look at me kind of like I'm a moron, but the motorcycle suspension has really helped everything in the world on suspension, motocross bikes especially. Development of gas shocks and all those valves and the shimming and all the different things that you can do to shocks now. That's the major thing on anything just about are the shocks. You tune so much with them because they're so tunable. That's what separates really the really fast guys is who can adjust for shocks, get more power to the ground with more speed or acceleration, whatever you're after, but it usually comes from your shocks anymore. And it's really due to motocross bikes and, of course, road race, but trials and all of it. But motocross mainly has developed so much shock technology, at least in my opinion. Anyway, just my opinion on it. But I think motorcycles, anybody that rides them knows how good a suspension has came over the last 20, 30, 40 years, 10 years even. But anyway, it's sorry to throw that in there because bikes are my first love. I do love them, and it has helped me in my career now on these because it is a very familiar thing to me. How they tune they tune them a little bit different, but tune your car nowadays out on the racetrack to the right height you want it to be at while you're racing. It's kind of a strength. It's a new way of tuning them. But they do that with dual springs. It's a little complicated to get into right now. But it's all for motorcycles. I guess what brought that point up. I'm rattling on. So I'll stop.
Not a problem. That's why I invited you on the show, because you are just this plethora of information that never ends. And always a pleasure to talk to you, Gary. And do appreciate you taking your time out tonight.
Well, anytime I can help you, Bob, you've helped me a lot in the past, and we've helped each other. But I really appreciate what you've always done for racing. You've been racing as long as I can remember you, but back in the old drag race days from Hoodoos and out there at the other place. But things wouldn't be the same around here if you hadn't been here in the last 20, 30 years promoting races and doing what you're doing right now. So I know my hat's off to you. And it's
just having fun.
I'm
just having fun. If you're not having fun, go home.
Right, but you enabled us to have fun too. And promoters are hard to find. Oh, Pogue has to do with any kind of motorized stuff, it seems like.
I had the pleasure of talking to Gerald Pritchard today on the phone, and his
home.
He's doing great, and he was talking about the 50th anniversary of the Tulsa Drag Strip. And it was last year, and we got about 10 more seconds in the show, so we're going to close it. We thank Bob Janet for coming on. We thank Gary Baylor for coming on, Chad Brock for listening in and putting in a couple of words of wisdom there. This is Bob Ertley, and we're talking Motorsports Mid-South. Thanks for tuning in and listening. Happy trails to you.
That's pretty cool.
See Bob. See ya. Trying to end it here. Hello?